This morning, Joan Carolyn will make a presentation she has called Out of the Mouths of Babes. Healthy relationship agreements are valuable. Those of us who attended the workshop here yesterday have at least a hint of what this will be about. We know that it is designed to help us celebrate the relationships that draw us and keep us here. In her presentation, Joan will explore the value in creating a welcoming space, which acknowledges that all of us have room to grow, and it will encourage us to risk buying in to the process of creating an agreement about the way we interact and the way we work together. And now, let's get to know Joan a little bit better. Joan Carolyn works for the Canadian Unitarian Council, supporting congregational development in BC and the Western region. She has been a member of the First Unitarian Universalist Church in Winnipeg since mid-2000. She is married to Ken Nicholson and shares with him two sons, a daughter-in-law, and two grandchildren. Joan has a Bachelor of Arts in World Religions and Cultural Anthropology. She has a Bachelor of Theology and a Master of Divinity in Theology and Peace Studies. Outside of the classroom, Joan is a lifelong learner with training and experience in conflict resolution and in cycles of violence and wellness planning. She has participated in Aboriginal awareness, including taking classes in Cree. She co-founded Thompson Mediation. Joan's primary areas of work, both paid and as a volunteer, include senior services, hospital ministry, ministry within a Mennonite church, and as director of several community programs. She's been involved in youth projects, in mediation, and in violence cessation and wellness planning for those assessed at high risk to reoffend upon release from prison. Joan's excited about her work in congregational development with the Canadian Unitarian Council and is looking forward to exploring the concept of healthy relationship agreements with us today. Joan.
I think I'll stand up here if that's all right with folks. And I like to move around a little bit. I also want to explain that if you're wondering, some of the talk this morning has been about covenants of right relations, and then the order of service talks about a healthy relation agreement. Nobody really messed up. It was just slow communication, and one group got information before the other group. So you know what? They're the same thing. Different congregations across Canada call these agreements healthy relationship agreements or covenants of right relations. So, back to what I want to say this morning. Minugizaga egwa tanse. Good day to all of you and hello. What a privilege to gather together with you on this beautiful morning on Treaty 4 land. Thank you for the warm welcome to your community as we've gathered in various ways to talk about relationships. And this morning, I invite you into a time of deepening as we continue this conversation about how we want to live together. For those new to Regina Unitarians and or for those unable to join us yesterday, we met to explore the idea of creating a covenant together, a healthy relationship agreement. We shared some laughs, we had great ideas, and at its base, we celebrated the incredible relationship which draws people into this space. Because that's what the covenant is about. It does address when conflict or tough times come, but its primary base is strengths-based. So this is where I want to start. The base for a covenant is found in the positive value and desire to continue important relationships. Across Canada, the majority of our congregations have developed these kinds of covenants. As Donald E. Skinner, he's retired founder of the editor of Interconnections Newsletter and a senior editor of the UU World from 1998 on, as he shared, the covenant is a set of guidelines designed to create a welcoming, respectful space and vibrant community. The covenant calls members to listen attentively, express gratitude, value confidentiality, ask for help, respect different opinions, and acknowledge that everybody, doesn't matter where you are in our groups, everybody makes mistakes. One of the comforting things about it is that the statement says that disagreement and conflict is normal. How we deal with it and support each other in dealing with it is important. It also takes lead in encouraging our members to use this covenant in all the various aspects of how we come together. At the beginning of our meetings, at the beginning of board meetings, committee meetings, it doesn't matter when. It also is shared with visibility so that new people coming in can understand how we want to be together and will hopefully find a welcoming space with us. In growing circles, covenants are valued as a transparent way of expressing how we decide to live together. Now, our Unitarian Universalist youth gatherings have been practicing covenants on a regular basis for a long time. The agreements that they develop are in place usually for only a short time, for a weekend or a conference, and they have some elements that are different than the ones that a congregation or a fellowship might create. The desire to have covenants highlights their strong value of relationships and the view that conflict simply is, so let's agree on how to approach it. One of the congregations with which it was my privilege to walk alongside as they built their covenant saw the value in the youth's long-term experience with covenant creation, and they invited the youth and our CUC youth and young adult staff person to join in their planning. So, as my service blurb humorously stated, out of the mouth of babes, well, in this case, teenagers, comes great wisdom and experience. I'd mentioned earlier the growing circles of relationships in which covenants have been helpful as a common agreement for how we want to live together. The Canadian Unitarian Council, and I'm not going to keep saying that, I'm just going to say CUC from now on, has these agreements between our board and staff, between the CUC and the International Council of Unitarians and Universalists, as well as the Unitarian Universalist United Nations Organization, too much alphabet soup, lots of names. We are also working on building respectful covenant relationships with the various ministers' associations, both internationally as well as here in Canada. Lots of agreements at a variety of levels of relationships. Does this sound a bit overdone? Or is it that agreements color many relationships and would appear to indicate a high value for clarifying how people want to be when they come together? There's lots of different contracts. Think about it. Marriages, treaties, international contracts, and so on. Oh, wait a minute. Did I mention a couple contracts that might have some negative histories? Well, isn't that a great opportunity then for us to come together and practice how we want to write out an agreement where everyone can be invited to have input and equity in how they come together to do that? And who knows? Perhaps someone who's been hurt in a different agreement, we'll be able to find a welcome and safe space here. So, I learned a great deal myself personally about participating in covenants, and I was participating directly in one of the community programs that I was a part of. So I want to share a brief story highlighting just some of the wisdom gleaned from 15 years with the Circles of Support and Accountability Program, hereafter COSA. COSA is a program which invites community volunteers to join in circles, providing support and accountability for those coming out of prison. These people have been assessed with high risk to reoffend, and they are looking for help to live healthier ways. So, people from all walks of life chose to come and offer their participation in this search for healthier ways of being. Now imagine the surprise of some of the community volunteers when they found themselves invited into a journey of vulnerability. Not vulnerability of being attacked by people with some violent life histories, but a vulnerability to be willing to share, yeah, the strengths of their lives, but also the challenging aspects. To listen to the wisdom from everyone in the circle, including the person they were there to help. And to be able to accept both support and accountability. And then also imagine the unbelievable joy of those people seeking help, often in a last-ditch effort. And they found themselves in supportive communities in which they were not only able to grow beyond long-term entrenched patterns of destructive behavior, but they were able to identify, develop, and implement positive ways of interacting. What an experience. And one of the greatest experiential learnings of COSA was that all parties have room to grow. Clients, COSA staff, volunteers, justice, and treatment staff. Our specialized stratified modern societies at times reinforce the idea that some people are the ones who give help and other people are the ones who receive help. It doesn't always happen, but it can. COSA and the covenants they created within each circle invited everyone to be vulnerable and everyone to share their strengths. Because we all have room to grow and we all have something to offer. And there are so many stories to tell of the wonderful growth that was possible arising out of these relationships. But I don't want to keep you or myself here for hours or days. So suffice it for now to say that not only was violent behavior reduced by 70% to 80%, but people, community, and client volunteers were able to identify new gifts, develop and implement them, growing into some new horizons they had never imagined. Before I wrap up, I want to highlight a concern raised by many congregations, the need to keep a visible presence for their covenant. Sometimes covenants get done and then forgotten in some file folder somewhere. Ever had experience with that kind of work in a committee? Well, many congregations strive for visibility. And besides putting their covenant into a frame, the covenant is included in newcomer orientation packets and invoked before each board, committee, and congregational meeting. And the visibility or experience of covenant isn't limited to these framed pieces or words at the beginning of a meeting. There are ripple effects to the covenants. Because if we learn to live well together, that power will ripple out into our relations beyond this group. So within our circles of UU communities, this faith of ours has given us great gifts, and it also has given us some responsibility to make it available to others. In our congregation, we can do that best by pouring our hearts and souls and treasure into making this fellowship strong and vital. A fellowship where we come together to work diligently at creating safe and welcoming spaces, to focus on strengths, sharing a belief that we all have gifts to be identified, developed, and implemented, and acknowledge that conflict simply exists, creating space for its healthy expression and processing. Building a community where we are invited to walk together constructively to grow beyond what we can even now imagine. This then is the great invitation to enter relationship in a transparent and covenantal way, sharing in the celebrations and daily living, as well as walking together through the hard and angry times. It is my passionate belief that this will guide us into the responsible search for truth and meaning that our principles invite us to be a part of. Think of your own life journeys. Have any of you been pleasantly surprised at some of the twists and turns your life has taken? This is part of the great gift's potential our faith offers, and Roger Bertschausen wishes to celebrate. And this journey of healthy relationships doesn't end within the parameters of our fellowship. It extends to all those wider communities and world within which we exist. So we are encouraged to reach out with our positive approach to relationship, welcoming engagement with others around us and in the world, actively listening to the wisdom of their stories and lives, a style of listening which goes really deep to hear the full story behind an expressed view, even if the initial statements kind of feel very far away from our own. And often, when we listen well, we can find some kind of connection. And continuing our responsible search for truth and meaning includes not only the deep listening, but the willingness to share our ideas. I love it. Within the UU youth, they call this step up and step back. If you're typically more talkative, maybe step back a little bit. And if you're the one that's really quiet, maybe you need to step up a little bit. So this morning, let's name just some of the examples of how congregations honor this larger covenant of living in relationship with the wider world around us. Some fellowships participate in pulpit or choir swaps with neighboring congregations, be they UU or other faiths. Some congregations engage in shared justice efforts like truth and reconciliation, environmental concerns. Internationally, some of them join the American Standing on the Side of Love campaigns. There are pride parades and calls to action. There's Idle No More participation and support. The list could go on and on. And I'm sure each of you could name some things. So my closing thought for this morning is that I want to end my reflections with a question from Rebecca Parker. The central question for us is not what do we believe, but more what do we believe in? To what larger love, to what people, principles, values, and dreams shall we be committed? And to whom and to what are we going to be accountable? My final words go back to the Cree or Innu language with which I began, from which I have learned a great deal and been blessed with significant relationships. So I want to say to you this morning, Kitwam Kwapamitin, we will see you again. Not in the naive sense that each of us as individuals will necessarily meet again. These words are a celebration of the great power of your relationship. And when we encounter others such warmth and welcome, we will be reminded of you. So in that sense, Agasane, thank you, and Kitwam Kawapamitin. We will see you.
Am I on? Okay, thanks. We usually have questions and comments at this time. Is there anyone that would like to take the mic and have a make a comment or...
Did you want to mention individually this covenant making, how it worked for you, or and as it works for groups as well, like these specifics that you gave us? Any specific incident that you'd like to mention?
Well, I thank you for that question. If I think maybe the easiest one for me to do would be able to talk a little bit about some of those covenants that we made in the circles of support and accountability on a personal level. In that setting, it was a two-way street. We celebrated who's in our circle, who is coming together. We also stated positively, why is it we are coming together? So that was kind of our positive base. Then we had mutual responsibility, what each of us is accountable to. So we are going to be confidential. We are going to be on time for our meetings. If we promise to do something, we are going to follow through on that and do that. Basics. And by the way, some of this stuff may seem really too simple, but sometimes it's those little things that start grating on us and making problems. And I don't want to go into too much detail because it's really hard to keep some of those stories short, because most of those circles lasted for anywhere from 2 to 4 years. One of the growth things for me in that circle, and I think some UUs could relate to this, is I have a challenge of doing too much sometimes. And I was held accountable in that circle, where some of the people in my circles, including the client coming out of prison, would say to me, "You're too tired. You're putting out too much. You need to take some space." And it was just amazing. And by the way, one of the incredibly powerful things for me in that relationship was that it really was a two-way street. There were some individuals who had come out of prison who broke some of the agreements that we had in the circle. And while most of them dealt with it well, we did walk 6 of them back inside after 15 years. We also had to challenge some support volunteers who repeatedly also broke the rules of the circle. For example, in one case, we found out that a support volunteer was telling stories and naming names in other settings, and that was totally inappropriate. And when that person was given opportunities to change and still didn't, we had to address it. And that person finally had to leave. So I don't know if that's kind of what your question was getting at. I would like to just quickly share, there is sometimes people are really afraid to address a conflict or a difficult situation, and there's one congregation that it's been a great privilege of mine to walk alongside for about a year and a half now, where there were some really serious inappropriate behaviors on someone's part. That person took the risk to be accountable to the community, is now linked with a mental health worker who is helping them, and there are 3 people from the congregation who are a support group for that person. Phenomenal. But that takes guts. It takes a lot of guts to be willing to speak sometimes. It also takes a lot of guts to admit when maybe you are the one that did something wrong, and then listen to the challenge and the support.
Okay.
Hi. I just want to hear that quote again. Was it Rebecca? If it's not appropriate for now, if I could just get my hands on it, I would really like to hear that or have it. Thank you.
I can read that one to you again. It's Rebecca Parker. And her question for all of us was, the central question for us is not what do we believe, but more what do we believe in? To what larger love, to what people, principles, values, and dreams shall we be committed? To whom and to what are we accountable? And I will be making the slide presentation that we did yesterday to help us develop some drafts of the covenant. And by the by, your crew that was here yesterday came up with two wonderful drafts that will be shared with you, as well as our brainstorming. I will be making that slide presentation available to the board to be shared, and I will also make this available so you have the direct quote.